life series or our lessons in the life of Peter in the book of Acts. We've been in the Gospels. We've had a lot of stories that we have learned about Peter. We saw his ministry. We saw his salvation. We've seen his boldness. We've seen him stick his foot in his mouth several times. We've seen him argue with the Lord Jesus Christ about Calvary and the emphasis on that. We have seen him in his downward turn as he argued with the Lord and then was not able to stay with Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane. And then we saw where he denied the Lord three times and wept bitterly. And then we saw in the life of Peter that the last message was in John chapter number 20. And we asked the question that that Jesus asked Peter, could be spoken of all of us, do you love me? And so this is where in John chapter 20, literally, Jesus Christ tells Peter a couple of things. Feed my sheep, feed my lambs. And the idea is that Peter is going to be the leader. He's going to be the pastor of the church at Jerusalem until later on he becomes what we would call the evangelist or the apostle to the Jewish people. Paul becomes the apostle to the Gentiles, and James becomes the pastor at the church of Jerusalem. And so we're going to learn something tonight, and I want to preach on this lesson in the life of Peter tonight, and I want to entitle it The Lesson of Preaching. The Lesson of Preaching. So let's look at Acts chapter 2, and notice in verse number 14, I'm going to read a couple of verses to get us down to verse 37, because I want us to preach or talk about from the text tonight about the response to preaching. So Peter, standing up with the 11, verse 14, lifted up his voice. Now that's right there. If you're going to preach, I'm just saying you got to lift up your voice. The Bible talks about lifting up your voice like a trumpet. I'm just saying, if you can't say anything good, at least say it loud. All right. So he lifted up his voice and he said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. And then he enters into this message where he says, hey, these men are not drunken. This is the Holy Spirit of God that's been poured upon us. I like what he says down in verse 21. This is part of the message. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right, so he begins to preach that. And then he speaks about in verse 24 that God raised up, loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should hold it of him. So he preaches here about salvation, calling on the Lord. He preaches about the resurrection and such. Verse number 32. Verse 31, he seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. So I'm telling you, he's preaching salvation. He's preaching the resurrection. He is showing the promise of the Holy Spirit of God. And all of these things, so just in a snapshot, you saw, listen to my words. Listen, they delivered Jesus up, but he's the only way of salvation. He died, he was buried, he rose again, and we are witnesses of that fact. Now, verse number 37, now, when they heard this, when they heard all of those things that I just said and more, but those are the highlights. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, here is the thing we need to understand tonight about preaching the Word of God. It always solicits an answer or a response. So when these people heard about Jesus Christ, and of course, the truth of what was going on, the Holy Spirit being poured out, that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that if you call on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. When they heard all of this, they were convicted. They were pricked in their hearts. That's what the Word of God does. I mean, every time I read the Bible, sometimes there's a conviction there that we need to maybe line ourselves up with what the Bible says. Then Peter said unto them, this is the invitation really, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and unto all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Father, I pray as we look at another lesson in the life of Peter, so many things that we have certainly learned. Lord, we see now that Peter is a bold preacher for the Lord Jesus Christ. He has been forgiven. He has been delegated the authority of preaching and the pastorate here in Jerusalem. They've obeyed and waited for the Holy Ghost to come down upon them. Lord, now Peter is totally different than some of the things that we've read about in the gospel. So many things that are different now and will completely be different about Peter until we can go all the way as we did last week and even read what Peter said in 1 and 2 Peter. But God, I pray tonight that we would not only would Peter be different, but that we would be different. We would grow and mature, that we would understand that we don't know everything like Peter maybe thought he did in some instances. We don't argue with God. We don't argue with the Bible. God, help us in these areas that we've learned from Peter. And now he stands up and preaches, and help us to learn tonight some things about preaching. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to make some comments like this. Preaching is like nothing else. There's nothing like preaching. And the thing about preaching, like standing up and declaring the Word of God, was not invented by man. Man did not invent this. But rather, we find through the Scriptures that it was commanded by God. Even when Paul is, of course, instructing Timothy and encouraging him and giving him what we would call the pastoral epistles, he said to Timothy, preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. In other words, preach the Bible. Now, I'm going to tell you that I believe that expository Bible preaching is the right way to go. I believe that preaching through books of the Bible does something for everybody. I mean, the Word of God is all important. And it's not that we should pick and choose, but we should preach the whole counsel of God. Brother Tim asked me tonight, well, preacher, you said you're going to be in the book of Acts and you're going to finish up Peter however long it takes. What are you going to do next? Don't do that to me. I'm not that good. But I have been preparing and reading, and maybe preach out of the book of Job, because I've never preached through the book of Job. I don't know that I will preach verse by verse through the book of Job, because I'd kill those guys too many times. They're Job's friends. And I know that Job is a book of patience, but I said I might call it something like this. Be careful who your friends are. So I don't know. But there is so much in the book of Job as you're reading it right now, right? Everybody's reading the book of Job. You are in your Bible reading, right? In your Bible calendar. And right now we're in the book of Job, and we're getting to that good part now where things are going to turn around for Job. But man, did Job go through something. It's just, I mean, you have a hard time, read Job. Because Job was overwhelmed with his circumstances. But preaching is not teaching, yet preaching can have teaching in it. All right? You can have doctrinal teaching in your preaching. But preaching is proclaiming the Word of God. Teaching is imparting knowledge. Preaching causes people to make a decision. You go, well, I said in messages before and I don't make a decision. You made a decision. You decided not to make a decision. Because every message, every part of the Word of God elicits a decision to be made. To the world, listen to this. To the world, preaching seems foolish. If you go into work tomorrow and say, they say, what'd you do last night? And you go, well, I went to church to listen to preaching. They'll think that's foolish, that's weird. They would think that something better could be done with your life. But I believe that the 45 minutes to an hour, usually, that I preach is some of the most important things that you will do in your life. That's why Wednesday night church is good, Sunday night church is good. Church is not just for Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, special meetings, assembling ourselves together. Why? And even Brian said it tonight when we were talking. He said, I know that the preaching is the preeminent part of every service at Berean Baptist Church. And it is. I enjoy singing. I enjoy congregationals. I enjoy the specials. Praise God. I am thankful for the talent that God has given our congregation and those who are willing to sing and praise God. Thank you. And by the way, just so you'll, let me just tell you, we're not changing our music. We're not changing the Bible we preach out of. We're not changing the fact that preaching is the preeminent thing. We're never going to change that as long as I'm in charge or I'm the pastor. All right? But to the world, preaching can seem very foolish. But to those who know Jesus Christ, listen to me, it is food for the soul. It is food for the soul. Preaching demands a decision. And Peter, as we see in our text, was a man who was called to preach. And on the day of Pentecost, which is where we're at in our text, Peter preached and saw what all Bible preachers desire to see, and that is this. Great conviction coming on people who hear the Word of God, and then not only conviction, but a response to that conviction to do something about it. And what we do is, when we get convicted about something, listen, is we repent. We change our mind about maybe the way we thought, and we turn our mind around and start thinking the way God thinks. In verse 37 of our text, the word pricked reminds me of Hebrews 4:12, where the Bible says, they were pricked in their heart. All right? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's what the Bible does. The Bible is like a sword. And then we know the Bible is like a hammer. It's all of these things. But Peter, on the day of Pentecost, when God gave him the opportunity, he preached to them the Word of God. He preached to them. And you go through here, he preached the Old Testament. He preached some things out of Joel. He made sure to understand that he preached the gospel. He preached the death and the burial and the resurrection. He understood, whether he understood or not, that it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And so he preached that, and the Word of God penetrated the hearts of those who listened. The response to this preaching was, what shall we do? And Peter told them, repent, turn, and then be baptized. And so he told them exactly what they should do. Peter said, repent. And by the way, you can't be baptized until you repent. I'm just going to say this out loud. Sometimes I wonder what are the way churches conduct themselves, the way things are going on. What did they repent of?
That's right.
There has to be a repentance. There has to be a turning from our sin. We cannot live and wallow in our sin. That's why God's people need to repent. That's why we need to get right with God. And preaching, when you come to a text and you expose that text, you expose that. And here's what Peter did. He exposed to them the Word of God. He exposed to them the gospel. He exposed to them that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But he also said, when they said, what shall we do? He said, repent. Preaching causes conviction. You know it's good preaching when you're preaching and then you get convicted of your own preaching. Because it's not the preaching that you're being convicted, it's the Word of God that's being preached that you're convicted of. If the Word of God is preached and you are convinced, the word convicted has the idea of convincing. If you're convinced of what is being preached, as long as it's the Bible, then the preaching has done what God said it would do. In fact, if you sit under preaching and you're never convicted, listen to this, that shows the condition of your heart. Because you can harden your heart so hard that you can come to church and tune out everything that is said and never let it penetrate your heart. I don't want to live like that. I don't want to be like that. I've never wanted to be like that. Every time, as a non-pastor of this church, every time I came in, I wanted God to do something and say something to me personally. But I'm telling you, you never go to the altar, ever go to the altar, ever get convicted, never get on your knees before God. God never does anything in your life. Something's wrong. I said something that should convict you right there. I've heard people criticize people who respond to the convicting power of God's Word. And the sad part is by doing that, they're actually revealing their own heart. By going, well, they go to the altar all the time. I'd rather go to the altar every time if I felt like I needed to. The precept in Peter's response to the convicted crowd was twofold. Repent and get baptized. Now, repentance, listen to this, is what happens on the inside, and baptism is what happens on the outside. All right? When you take care of the inside, then you will desire to follow the Lord on the outside. In every aspect of your life. Repentance is more than just coming down the aisle and signing a decision card. It's when you get serious with God and turn from yourself and turn from your sin and turn to God in salvation. It's going this direction and turning around and going to the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance involves sorrow. Sorrow over transgression. Transgression against God. Not over getting caught in the sin, but sorrow of the transgression that it causes against God. Sorrow over the fact that you have dishonored God and that it is God that you have sinned against. When David finally repented after a year over the matter of Bathsheba, he got before God and he repented and he really repented. If you read Psalms 51 and he said this, I have sinned against thee and thee only have I sinned. That's what repentance is, when you realize that you've sinned against God. Second of all, repentance is a separation from sin. It doesn't mean you'll never sin again. But repentance means to turn about, to change a direction, to turn from sin. If a person truly repents, listen to this. They are willing to do whatever God would want them to do. And I've actually, when I've dealt with people, when they're there and God is dealing with them and God is convicting them, I'll say this sometimes. If you were to call upon the name of the Lord, would you do anything God asked you to do? If they say no, then you're not ready to be saved. Now, I'm not saying God's going to, you know, when you get saved, you're going to have to go to the jungles of Africa, but let me just tell you this: if God calls you to go to the jungles of Africa, you'd be better to do that than be disobedient to God. Today, it is not popular to preach this, and I'm going to just say this out loud. That's why the world is full of false professions. Man, I tell you what, it breaks my heart when you ask somebody about their salvation and they give you an answer that has nothing that does that lines up with the Word of God. But yet they want to tell you, oh, I'm okay, I'm saved. I'm like, no, you're not okay. Just say this prayer and you'll be saved. That's wicked. Knock on somebody's door, stick your feet between the door and say this prayer. Or like, that's not salvation. That's not salvation whatsoever.